God, we come before you to learn about you. And as always, we ask that whatever words are from you, find a home in our hearts. And whatever's not from you, just let it go its own way. We thank you for this time, this opportunity to be before you and to hear your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I heard that I was doing the sermon today, I started preparation as I normally do, which is not preparing at all. Because I've learned over the years that the best words come from God and not from me. So all of my preparation is for naught. And Jeff will come up with page after page of his sermon, and I am thankful every day for that because we learn so much from it. Me, I have the bulletin and no actual notes. I started typing notes this morning, but then I just deleted it because it wasn't worth it. Today we're going to be talking about Jonah. And I wanted to start by telling you my plan for the sermon today. At the beginning of the week, somewhere in the middle actually, I got it into my head that I was going to call today's sermon Don't Panic, which is in reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which some people may know and may not. And then I was going to follow that up next week with a sermon called Keep Calm and Worship On, which is a parody of a popular phrase that is being tossed around right now. And I thought, what better way to tie those things together than with the story of Jonah? The story of Jonah, which is, you know, a guy gets called by God, freaks out, runs away, gets swallowed by a whale, spit out by a whale, and then does what God tells him to do. Panicking in the beginning and calmness at the end. So this was perfect. Told Jeff that's what I'm going to do. Everything was hunky-dory. Unfortunately, then I went and read the story of Jonah. And in times past, in my youth, I would have shoehorned Jonah into that sermon. And I would have pointed out all the ways that it fit with what I was going to talk about. Because I had the sermons written. I mean, I was practicing them. We were in good shape. Not anymore. I've realized that the truth is better than anything I can present. So today we're going to talk about the true story of Jonah, not what I had planned, and those sermons I'll go find some other prophet to talk about later. But the story of Jonah. So firstly, does anybody know where the story of Jonah is in the Bible? Jeff's not here. It's his job to know, so I was glad that... You know. Okay, so it is in the Old Testament. What I was surprised to learn is that it is in the book of Jonah. It's an entire book. That's kind of a bad way to start when you don't even realize where the story is. He has his own book, and it's only 2 pages long. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole book to you today, which is a stark contrast because for the past 9 months we've been working on one verse pretty much. So this is very different. But to start, I wanted to tell you the story of Jonah that I know, or knew. The story of Jonah that maybe many of you know, the one that we learned when we were kids. Jonah was a prophet of God, and God talked to Jonah, and he said, I want you to go do this thing for me. And Jonah ran away, and he got on a boat, because Jonah was freaked out by that, and he got on a boat, and he left, and he ran away from God, and God doesn't get run away from. So he caused a great storm to come up, and the people on the boat said, Jonah, this is all your fault. We're throwing you overboard because you brought this on us. And so they throw Jonah overboard. Jonah gets eaten by a whale. The whale swims him to shore, spits him out, and he realizes, I should have listened to God, and I'm going to go do what he said. And that's the story of Jonah that I knew, and it worked real well with that original sermon. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, the story of Jonah is vastly different than that. There are a few things that line up with that, but for the most part, it's very different. So I'm going to go ahead and read the story of Jonah. Now, I'm reading from the Adventures in Odyssey Bible. It's a kid's Bible, and I'm reading from that Bible because one of my goals for the new year is to read through the entire Bible. The reason I've never done that in one shot is because it's tricky when there are a lot of old language, and I can get confused rather easily. This version is true to the word, but it's a different translation. It's a translation specifically for kids, so it's got very easy language, but there are no punches pulled. I read through the story of David, and he still sleeps with a guy's wife and then has him murdered. So don't think that it doesn't actually tell the truth. So I'm going to go ahead and read through that, and I'm going to try and leave my own commentary out of it. Like I said, it's only 2 pages, so get comfortable, and I'll try and read it in a very storytelling tone. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it. I see the evil things they do. But Jonah got up to run away from the Lord. He went to the city of Joppa. There he found a ship that was going to the city of Tarshish. Jonah paid for the trip and went aboard. He wanted to go to Tarshish to run away from the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. The wind made the sea very rough, so the ship was in danger of breaking apart. The sailors were afraid. Each man cried out to his own God. The men began throwing the cargo into the sea. This would make the ship lighter so it wouldn't sink. But Jonah had gone down into the ship to lie down. He fell fast asleep. The captain of the ship came and said, "Why are you sleeping? Get up. Pray to your God. Maybe your God will pay attention to us. Maybe he'll save us." Then the man said to each other, "Let us throw lots to see who caused these troubles to happen to us." So the men threw lots. The lot showed that the trouble had happened because of Jonah. Then the men said to Jonah, "Tell us what you've done. Why has this terrible thing happened to us? What is your job? Where did you come from? What is your country? Who are your people?" Then Jonah said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. He is the God who made the sea and the land." Then the men were very afraid. They asked Jonah, "What terrible thing did you do?" They knew Jonah was running away from the Lord because Jonah had told them. The wind and the waves of the sea were becoming much stronger. So the men said to Jonah, "What should we do to make the sea calm down?" Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then it will calm down. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come on you." Instead, the men tried to row the ship back to land, but they could not. The wind and the waves of the sea were becoming much stronger. So the men cried to the Lord, "Lord, please don't let us die because of taking this man's life. Please don't think we're guilty of killing an innocent man. Lord, you caused all this to happen. You wanted it this way." Then the men picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. So the sea became calm. Then they began to fear the Lord very much. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They also made promises to him. And the Lord caused a very big fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. While Jonah was in the stomach of the fish, he prayed to the Lord his God. Jonah said, "I was in danger, so I called to the Lord, and he answered me. I was about to die, so I cried to you, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the sea. I went down, down into the deep sea. The water was all around me. Your powerful waves flowed over me. I said, 'I was driven out of your presence, but I hope to see your holy temple again.' The waters of the sea closed over me. I was about to die. The deep sea was all around me, seaweed wrapped around my head. I went down to where the mountains of the sea start to rise. I thought I was locked in this prison forever, but you saved me from death, Lord my God. When my life had almost gone, I remembered the Lord. Lord, I prayed to you, and you heard my prayers in your holy temple. People who worship useless idols give up their loyalty to you. Lord, I will praise and thank you while I give sacrifices to you. I will make promises to you, and I will do what I promise. Salvation comes from the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish spit Jonah out of its stomach onto the dry land. Another verse, or another translation, has the fish vomiting Jonah up onto the land, which I personally found much more enjoyable to read, but spits is in this version, so we continue. Then the Lord spoke his word to Jonah again. The Lord said, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, and preach against it what I tell you." So Jonah obeyed the Lord. He got up, went to Nineveh. It was a very large city. It took a person 3 days to walk across it, which is similar to New York, if you've ever been. It took me 3 days to get anywhere there. Jonah entered the city. When he had walked for 1 day, he preached to the people. He said, "After 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed." The people of Nineveh believed in God. They announced they would stop eating for a while. They put on rough cloth to show how sad they were. All the people in the city wore the cloth. People from the most important to the least important did this. When the king of Nineveh heard this news, he got up from his throne. He took off his robe. He covered himself with rough cloth and sat in ashes to show how upset he was. He made an announcement and sent it through the city. The announcement said, "By the command of the king and his important men, no person or animal should eat anything. No herd or flock will be allowed to taste anything. Do not let them eat food or drink water, but every person and animal should be covered with rough cloth. Every person should cry out loudly to God. Everyone must turn away from his evil life. Everyone must stop doing harm. Maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he will stop being angry. Then we will not die." God saw what the people did. He saw these things. He saw that they stopped doing these evil things. So God changed his mind and did not do what he had warned. He did not punish them. Now that is the first three chapters of the book of Jonah. And that is where the story that I knew about ended. But the book continues, and here we go. But Jonah was very unhappy that God did not destroy the city. He was angry. He complained to the Lord and said, "I knew this would happen. I knew it when I was still on my way to Tarshish. I knew that you were a God who is kind and shows mercy. You don't become angry quickly. You have great love. I knew you would rather forgive than punish them. So now I ask you, Lord, please kill me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Then the Lord said, "Do you think it's right for you to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down east of the city. There he made a shelter for himself, and he sat there in the shade. He was waiting to see what would happen to the city. The Lord made a plant grow quickly up over Jonah. This made a cool place for him to sit, and it helped him to be more comfortable. Jonah was very pleased to have the plant for shade. The next day the sun rose, and God sent a worm to attack the plant. Then the plant died. When the sun was high in the sky, God sent a very hot east wind to blow. Then the sun became very hot on Jonah's head, and he became very weak. He wished he were dead. Jonah said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said this to Jonah, "Do you think it's right for you to be angry because of the plant?" Jonah answered, "It is right for me to be angry. I will stay angry until I die." And the Lord God said, "You showed concern for that plant, but you did not plant it or make it grow. It appeared in the night, and the next day it dried. Then surely I can show concern for the great city of Nineveh. There are many animals in that city, and there are more than 120,000 people living there. Those people simply do not know right from wrong." And that is where the book of Jonah ends. And it is very different than the story that I was told when I was young, and it's very different than the story I went into to preach about. There are so many layers to the book of Jonah, and I can understand why Jeff will preach on a singular subject for months at a time, because there are levels after levels, and you want to tell every little bit that you find, but you can't, because there's only so much time, and people only have so much attention to give. I encourage everybody, whether you come up and preach one day, or you just do it as though you're pretending to preach, go and prepare a sermon and look at this stuff as deeply as I did when I looked at the book of Jonah. I want to touch on a few things that I learned here, but I can't get to them all today. So look for yourself. I want to touch on the fact that when I was young, the story of Jonah had a particular meaning to me that needed to be there. It was the story about this man who was scared to do what God told him to do. And I needed that when I was young, because I was afraid of a lot of things. And the story that I knew was important for me then. And now, 30 years later, there's things in here that mean so much more to me for who I am now. This is the story of a man who was extremely proud. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria at the time. And Assyria was a great nation that was actually at war a lot with Israel. So this is the only time in the entire Old Testament that God tells any prophet to go outside of Israel and preach. The only time. And so Jonah was not happy about that. Jonah didn't want to go to these heathens and give them the grace that they have found in Israel, give them the blessings that Israel had found. So he ran away. So he didn't really run away out of fear. He ran away because he hated these people, and he didn't want good things for them. And God brought him back. But understand that this prayer that Jonah prayed in the belly of the whale was not a prayer of repentance. Jonah didn't learn some great lesson from getting tossed overboard and eaten by a whale. Jonah prayed this prayer that while he was sinking and about to drown, he got saved because he cried out to God, and he was thanking God for that. He wasn't saying, I understand now that I need to offer your love to everybody else. And that can be seen at the end, this mystical fourth chapter that I didn't know existed. Jonah is still mad. Jonah's mad that God didn't kill all these people, because that's what Jonah wanted. And to the very last words that Jonah speaks in this book, he says, it is right for me to be angry. I will stay angry until I die. Jonah didn't learn a lesson, but God teaches that lesson through Jonah to us. God, in the end, says, you show great concern for this plant, and in this regard, the plant is these little things that we hold on to. You didn't plant the plant. It comes from God. We care about so many things, money being a huge one, and we just took the offering. We care so much about it. We didn't plant it. The money doesn't really belong to us. It was given to us. Now, we may have done things to get the money, but it's really God's. And what God is saying is, care about these people and these animals in this city. They're huge. That's this big thing. And you're worried about a plant, and you're mad that I took your plant away. And Jonah may have not learned that lesson, or may have. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it's a good lesson for us, so that we can learn from this experience of Jonah and see that we can go ahead and do what God calls us to do. And we can do it begrudgingly, and God will use whatever it is that we do. Jonah ran away, and that wasn't really part of the main plan, but God used it. There are historians and people and scholars who look at this sort of thing, and they reason that perhaps when Jonah was eaten by the whale, the stomach acid of the whale completely bleached him head to toe, so he looked like a ghost. And that was one of the reasons that the people in Nineveh listened to him, because here came this specter coming through town. I don't know if that's accurate, but it's an interesting thing that I found while I was studying this book. And I think another thing that I want to touch on real quickly before I end is the people on the boat. The people on the boat, what Jonah was on, cried out to their gods and found no salvation. And then they went to Jonah and said, found out that it was God of Abraham that was causing the storm. And once this miracle happened, that Jonah was thrown overboard and the seas calmed, the people began to worship God. So they converted over to the God of the universe. And if Jonah hadn't run away, then those people very likely would have just gone about their merry way, and their lives would be the same as they were when they left. So God can use all these things. He can use the times when we run away from him, and he can use the times when we listen to him. And so there are so many other things that I learned in this book. I wish I could just touch on them all, but it goes deeper than even my brief study showed me. So I hope you'll continue to read the book, and as we go out this week, I hope you'll remember that you have to set aside the pride that you have. God's grace is available for everybody. It's our job to show that to everybody, no matter how mad or how much we dislike somebody, no matter what they do to us. And we can do it begrudgingly, or we can do it with a kind and gentle heart. Either way, God's going to get the way he wants. And I hope that we'll learn this lesson from Jonah, and then we'll go forward from here and do his work. Go in peace. Amen.